Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Well, hello and welcome everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld and today is July 8, 2022. And this is indeed the Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. We are going to get started here in just a minute, but before we do that, I want to remind you of our contact information. The easiest one to get to is probably our Facebook page. It's called, Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Go there, request membership, and I'll be glad to have you join. Or you can just go there and read what you see. We also have our primary website at spiritoftruthministry.net. And there you will find lots and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling and a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. Our secondary website is basically our historic website. It is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, T, M. And then you will be able to read lots and lots of other good stuff, including some biographical material, our new book page, which has in the sidebars, it has the story about how the book came to be published and why we know God wanted it published, because they put all sorts of difficulties in our way. Say, Rick, would you do me a big favor? And also close the front window. We have yesterday was supposed to be our trash day, but since there was a holiday on, just close the front one, and I'll get the other stuff. Since our regular trash day was supplanted by a holiday, we get it done today. So let us have prayer, and we will get started with our program. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us safe passage from lies to truth. Help us to understand that everything that we have learned about, everything that has been told us about salvation, is actually a lie. And we need to go to the words of Jesus himself to learn the truth. And I thank you for giving us this opportunity. And I pray that you will open our eyes and open our hearts to the words of Jesus and the meaning through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. Let's see. Let's get Dr. Don up here. There we go. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. What a gorgeous day.
You spent a few days in the hospital this week. We're glad you're back.
I told my friends I was dining on luxurious hospital food. I'll tell you what, it's really bad. Oh my goodness, I've never seen anything quite like that.
Well, we are glad that there was actually nothing particularly wrong.
Let me just give you, not to take much time, but to tell you why I'm saying what I'm saying. One of my meals came in, a styrofoam fold-over thing,
Yep.
And inside was a scoop of mashed potatoes about the size of a golf ball. I'm serious.
Okay.
They were cold. They were not flavored. And the rest of the meal was two little slices of hard toast. That was all that was in the container.
Wow. And what was the reasoning on that one?
Huh?
What's the reasoning on that?
Well, that's hospital food. Everybody's don't give a shit about that. I'm sorry. They don't give a care about the veterans. You know, I was in a veterans hospital. See, there's all these signs that you look, you know, there's what really should be, what really should be done is not being done. That's true everywhere. Yeah. What should be done on the border isn't being done on the border. What should be done at the gas station isn't done at the gas station. What right. should be done among food in the hospital is not being done. I didn't complain. No. I'm an old troop. You know, I was happy to get some food, but I'm just reporting. It was, well, there was other things like a little thing of fruit juice and a little thing of probably a handful of grapes or something like that. But anyway, the main course that particular day was a stew of potatoes about the size of a golf ball and two little pieces of toast. That was it.
Oh, my. Well, we're glad you're back where you can get some good food. And we will, you know, if you need to say something, you know how to do it. And good morning.
I'd call that mission food.
That's mission food. And also he did his
missionary duties.
Missionary duties there. He actually gave Bible studies to a couple of priests. So I think that's fabulous. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Dennis, and good day to everyone. You for taking God seriously. I know that he appreciates and commends you for taking the time to listen. I'm starting the study today with a text from Amos, chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. And the heading put in by the translator team is "The prophetic call cannot be resisted." The prophetic call cannot be resisted. Let that sink in while I read the verses. "Do two men take a road together if they have not planned to do so?" Plan. "Does the lion roar in the jungle if no prey has been found? Does the young lion growl in his lair if he has captured nothing? Does the bird fall to the ground if no trap has been set? Does the snare spring up from the ground if nothing has been caught? Does the trumpet sound in the city without the populace becoming alarmed? Does misfortune come to a city if Yahweh has not sent it? No more does Yahweh do anything without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." I'm going to repeat that verse again because it is critical, of critical importance that you hear what God is saying and apply it to what is happening right now, these days of Elijah. "No more does God Does the Lord Yahweh do anything without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets? The lion roars. Who can help feeling afraid? The Lord Yahweh speaks. Who can refuse to prophesy?
Just, I have a feeling I know where this is going. So let's find out.
That brings to mind from my friend Jeremiah, whom of course I never met because he lived long before I was born. But the amount of time I have spent in what he has written, I feel like I knew him while he was alive. And relate to the Word of God, the words of God, because he received the words from God's own mouth and wrote them down and spoke them in public, and then he writes about what he experienced in response to his public speaking of the words of God, even to king and priest. And this is what he says. We find this in Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. You have seduced me, Yahweh, and I have let myself be seduced. You have overpowered me. You were the stronger. I am a daily laughingstock. Everybody's, that's with two T's. Each time I speak the word, I have to howl and proclaim violence and ruin. The word of Yahweh has meant for me insult, derision all day long. I used to say, I will not think about him. I will not speak in his name anymore. Be a fire burning in my heart. That same fire I feel in my heart also. I think about the self-proclaimed prophets who are on social media, YouTube, etc., etc. I don't know that they're really suffering ridicule or derision or everybody's butt. Some of these prophets have had a pretty decent accuracy record. The latest one is concerns the Georgia Guidestones. And if you live in the United States, you may have heard of them. Although a lot of people that I have talked to about that, one of them was destroyed the other night and the whole edifice was knocked down.
Apparently there is video of someone sneaking up to the Guidestone.
There's no video of anyone sneaking up. There's one of a car driving off really fast.
I saw it. There's a guy sneaking up, going into the Guidestones, and then walking back.
Anyway.
So,
whatever.
Right.
Most of the people that I know of have never heard of the Georgia Guidestones. I've known of the Georgia Guidestones since they were built. And they were telling of a time coming when the population of the world would be reduced to 500 million people. And the 500 million people, in essence, would serve the, what are called, termed as the 1%, the elite globalist tyrannical rulers. Tyranny throughout the land. And in order to get down to 500 million, they would have to kill over 6 billion. Close to 7 billion people they would have to kill in order to get to their goal that was set in stone.
Right. We'll give you one guess as to how they planned on doing that.
Well, you look around you. The last couple of years, it's been in your face. And people have had enough. They are not succumbing to the fear from the fear mongers who have been working desperately to pull the population down to a manageable number. Let's read in prophecy. The what would you say, Dennis? The antithesis? What is antithesis?
Basically the opposite.
It wouldn't appear, but then again, Guidestones have been destroyed. And that, I do believe, is a warning and an answer to the deep state. So let's read in Revelation chapter 13. And as we read this, I'm going to point out each element that has informed us of ahead of time. And I say this with the backing of the words of God. And that is in Jeremiah. Let me have to turn back to Jeremiah here. Jeremiah. And Was it 12? I'll get it. Usually I can turn right to this. Let me see. I'm talking about the Word of God. This is in Jeremiah 18, verses 55. I'll get there. The rain and the snow.
Oh, yeah, because Jeremiah only in my Bible only goes.
Only goes, so it's got to be Isaiah then.
Right.
Yeah, here we are. I just turned right to it. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Yes. As the rain and snow come down from the heavens and do not return without watering the earth, making it yield and giving growth to provide seed for the sower and bread for the eating, so the word that goes forth from my mouth does not return to me empty, without carrying out my will and succeeding in what it was sent to do. Now back to Revelation 13. I'm going to say this. The liars out there use their lies in an attempt to show that those two verses of Isaiah 55 are just made up by Isaiah, or Isaiah probably never existed. It was just made up by some religious leaders living in a Bedouin camp that was looking for notoriety and talking big talk, but there's no physical evidence that these people ever lived in this land other than in tents moving around and trying to pass themselves off as important and to pass their God off as the God of truth and the God that brought them out of Egypt. They never came out of Egypt. I mean, you can go and these people do not believe in God. They know what the truth is. They know what the evidence is, but they deny it. And they support it with their lies, which they know are lies because they take great care in covering up the truth. Look around the world today. Who is it that wants to cover up the truth, to deny the truth, to make the truth irrelevant and
make it their truth?
Well, yeah, well, they don't make the truth their truth. They construct a lie.
Right.
And say, this is the truth, and we have the science to prove it.
And when you call them on it, they just ignore you,
well,
or they yell at you.
I mean, anybody living in this world today can't help but see that that's exactly what the globalists have been doing. And who are the globalists serving?
Satan.
They're serving Satan. They worship all. Who is Satan? They worship Ra, who is Satan, gods, small g, old. And about God to mimic him through giving prophecy and having a good track record too. Maybe, you know, 90%. Maybe 95%. Maybe even 100%. But any prophet who doesn't speak the truth about God may deliver a high accuracy in predicting future events as a prophet, but of a true servant, the prophet of Yahweh. I like to go, I'm to Deuteronomy 13. Because there, God makes it plain. And that's why what is important to God is that we know the truth about everything he has said. Truth about everything he has said. Not just someone who has a high degree of accuracy in predicting future events. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1 and on. All I command you, you must keep and observe. Okay, there you go. He starts right out. All I command you, you must keep and observe. What does he command? He commands us with the truth, the things that he requires us to do.
And you said this was Deuteronomy 13?
Deuteronomy 13. Well, it's one in mine, but it might be 32 in yours.
Oh, okay.
Verse one. You know how they kind of change things around in the Jerusalem Bible. So it would be 12, verse 32. Or if you have the Jerusalem Bible, it would be 13, verse 1.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
All I command you, you must keep and observe, adding nothing to it, adding nothing to it, and taking nothing away. Right there. That completely destroys Paul. Right there. That completely destroys Paul and his words. Which brings us to what he says now. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you and offers to do a sign or a wonder for you, and the sign or wonder, and what is a sign? Could be a prophecy. Look, my prophecy that I prophesied, look, it came true. And it did come true. If a sign or wonder comes about, and if he then says to you, let us follow other gods, small g, whom you have not known, and serve them, you are not to listen to the words of that prophet or to the dreams of that dreamer. Okay, what are dreams?
I wonder if this applies to Paul.
Well, it applies to Paul and everybody who believes what that Paul said, because Paul is a liar. Provable liar.
So that plus Revelation 3:19-21 or something like that, that proves that the woman who claimed to be a prophet, the church that we grew up in, is completely false.
Yes. Yes, it does. So with a high degree of accuracy, it would be hard to differentiate whether they are, you know, whether we should listen to their theological expositions. So why would God allow it? Well, he says right here, Yahweh your God is testing you to know if you love Yahweh your God with all your heart and all your soul. So the important thing to know about a prophet who has a high degree of accuracy is, are they promoting, presenting, and living the truth? And what is the truth? The truth is found in three volumes. The Law, five books, the Prophets, and the Testimony of the Son of God. Anyone who teaches anything different than that which is written in the Law, the Prophets, and the Testimony of the Son of God, which includes the three letters of John and Revelation, is not to be trusted. Do not listen to them. Follow them. Okay, back to Revelation 13. Hopefully that the groundwork that I have laid there with the words of God will now, we will build on it, and you'll, my hope is you'll be able to see it. Now, we talked about Revelation 12, which is a good lead up to Revelation 13. So I will start with Revelation 12, verse 15. So the serpent vomited water from his mouth like a river after the woman to sweep her away in the current. But the earth came to her rescue. It opened its mouth and swallowed the river thrown up by the dragon's jaws. One picture that comes to mind is what the Son of God talked about, spiritual water. The water of life is spiritual. I know that you probably recall that I was in talking about the woman at the well, and the Son of God sent the woman for a drink. And when she gives him a drink, he says, you know, if you had asked me for a drink, I would have given you a drink of living water. And she says, sir, you have no bucket. How could you give me this living water? What is this living water? I love that she's asked the question. See, we need to ask questions. I think a lot of people feel they know it all. They were raised, they've gone to church, they've been taught, they've listened to the sermons, they've sat in Sunday school, Sabbath school, whatever teaching groups they have at church or at school, if you go to a church school.
Or pastors, or yes, teachers or preachers, of people who they trust.
And you pretty much know it. You know, you got the living water. They are Bible-based. But remember, not everything in the New Testament is from God. Just remember that. Now, the devil is spewing water out of his mouth. The word is vomiting it up. So it's coming from deep inside him. It's coming out of his mouth as a flood. And the purpose of this is to sweep the woman away. Now, you know, I have told you who I believe the woman is. And I've given you the proof. But a lot of people, they overlook the proof that I provide, and because they have been told something completely different about this woman. The Catholics have been told that she is Mary. But the question I ask about that is then, if she's Mary, then how is she here? Because the Catholics say Mary is in heaven. So how is she here to give birth to the last of her offspring? If she's in heaven, how is she in the wilderness? How is the dragon going to sweep Mary away? If she's in the wilderness, where is she? So these are questions they can't answer. Well, we'll just leave that up to God. We have to live by faith. No. If you're living by faith, you're in trouble. And you know I've always said that.
Faith allows a person to believe a lie as if it is the truth without accountability.
The faith that Paul preaches, exactly that, without accountability. So God sent his son to this world to testify to the truth, so that at the end of time could say, well, we don't know what the truth really is, so really all we need to do is have faith, and God will reward our faith with eternal life. But God's never said that. Why would God send his son here to testify to the truth so that we could have the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, spread the truth, if the truth is not important to our salvation? So that all we need to do is believe. Because you can believe the words of Paul, and in the words of Paul, you understand that your salvation comes apart from the law, not in the law.
And it is assured by having that simple faith that allows you to believe a lie as if it's the truth.
And Paul says, where there is no law, there's no violation. Where did the Son of God teach that? Where did the Father teach that? Where does the Holy Spirit teach that? A lawless salvation? No.
So, and Rick, it's no wonder that today we are seeing lawlessness becoming rampant, because the people who say they are for the law, the law of the land that we must obey, they do not believe that they are required to keep God's law. So if they're not required to keep God's law, why are they required to keep any law? I mean, really, what's the point?
Well, of course, you can't go overboard. That's what I've heard. So what is this spiritual flood that the dragon is pouring out of his mouth to sweep the woman away, other than lies and more lies? A flood of lies to sweep the one member of the family, God the Father, God the Mother, and God the Son, the one member who was sent here by the Father when his Son returned from accomplishing his work on earth. And his mother was sent here to finish it. The dragon knows that if anybody comes to understand who this woman is and listens to her, and I'm telling you, she will teach you. She will teach you what you need to know. I am saying that from experience, and you can believe it or not. I know there's a lot of people out there that say the Holy Spirit tells them things. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell me anything. The Holy Spirit works with the words that are in the Bible, helps you in your mind to understand. She doesn't just give you teaching sessions. That's already been done. Her work is helper. That's what she's been called, helper. And that's what she is.
And you see, people make the mistake of believing that the Holy Spirit works overtly.
Well, I've heard them say, yeah, the Holy Spirit told me this. I prayed about it. The Holy Spirit told me that.
And you see, all of that can be, I'm not denying that it could be true, but it doesn't fit the parameters of what the Holy Spirit works, how the Holy Spirit works, and how Jesus said she would work.
She has said two words to me that I know of, maybe more. What I mean is where I actually heard in my mind the two words. But what I have come to know, that I share everything I know with you, everything. Where are you going to find this anywhere else from anybody else? This is not a popular message. You know, to say that Paul is a fraud, that basically, you don't even find acceptance amongst Christians who live and die by the words of Paul. The flood of lies from the dragon's jaws is meant to sweep the truth away
and drown it.
And he almost accomplished it. But he didn't. And God told us that he wouldn't. When he told John, this is what would happen at the end of days. The dragon would try to sweep away the truth with the flood of lies. But what happens? The earth opens its mouth and swallows the flood. It doesn't say the woman got an ark swam or floated or was taken to heaven the earth. Now, I believe that earth opening up to swallow the flood is the earth exposing the truth, which swallows the lie. And that the amulet I talked about a few times ago. That would be a good example, although it's not the only example. To me, it is a very strong example and a very pertinent, poignant example.
And it was found in the last year or two. And why now?
Yeah. And it was found in a discard pile by a wet sifting technique, which was only recently developed. It was found in the discard pile using a technique that had just been developed. So, anyway, the dragon was unable to sweep away the truth. Then he was enraged. He was enraged with the woman and went away to make war on the last of her children. That is, all who obey God's commandments and bear witness or are witnesses for the Son of God. Now, what has just been described there are those who are in the kingdom. Not those who are on their way. Not those who have faith that they are in the kingdom. Not those who think they are in the kingdom. Notice, these children are offspring of the woman. And this woman is the same woman who gave birth to the firstborn son of God into his flesh and blood being. And he was taken up to heaven and to God's throne. And what he said, what he, the Son of God, said to Nicodemus is applicable here. He said, except a man is born of the water and the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. So what he's saying here is, who does the devil go to war against? Those who are in the kingdom of God. And they're in the kingdom of God because they've been born of the woman. And how was it that they were born of the woman? What's the evidence? They obey God's commandments. They don't treat the commandments as a way of knowing what sin is and then appreciating the gift of salvation that we receive through grace by the faith that we have. No, obey God's commandments, and they hold to and testify to the truth, the same truth that the Son of God came here to testify to. These are brothers and sisters of the Son of God, and they are called to do, and we're told that they will be doing the same thing that they're eldest brother did. In fact, what they are doing is they are spreading his testimony throughout the world.
Faith and truth are inversely proportional.
Exactly.
The less truth you have, the more faith you need. The less faith you need, the more truth you
have. Well, according to Paul, the more lies, the more truth you have that would expose the lies you believe, you need more faith to believe the lies because the evidence is so strong against what you believe.
Exactly.
And Paul commends those who can reach a level of faith that no lie, that no truth can penetrate. He says, what is the best? So verse 1 in Revelation. We're going to transition from the last of verse of Revelation 12, verse 17 to 13. And I know we're running out of time, so we'll have to continue this tomorrow. I was standing on the seashore. Then I saw a beast emerge from the sea. It had seven heads and 10 horns with a coronet on each of its 10 horns. And its heads were marked with blasphemous titles. I saw that the beast was like a leopard, paws like a bear, and a mouth like a lion.
We have seen the leopard, the bear, and the lion.
Which is where someplace before. I'm going in Daniel 7.
Daniel 7, correct.
So Daniel 7, starting verse 11. The great things the horn was saying, still ringing in my ears, and as I watched, the beast was killed and its body destroyed and committed to the flames. So if the beast, which is the fourth beast, which represented the pagan Roman Empire.
Imperial Rome, correct.
Its body was destroyed, but the horns were not. So its body was destroyed, but the horns were not. Now, three of the horns had already been uprooted by this other horn that had eyes and a mouth. So the beast, when its body was destroyed, had eight horns. The prominent one had eyes and a mouth that were speaking the blasphemies. So what happened is that pagan Rome was turned into papal Rome, which was the horn with eyes and a mouth. I gazed into the visions of night and saw coming, verse 12. The other beasts, which are the lion, the bear, and the leopard, the other beasts were deprived of their power, but received a lease. What's a lease?
It's a contract for
a certain period of time, and then
the balance comes due.
Well, then you have to leave. Right. You know, I have to move out. But received a lease of life for a season and a time. Do you know what a lot of the
expositors, you might say?
Well, yeah, but what I'm talking about is, when the guidestones came down and when the abortion issue was done, and I won't go through the whole list, but people were saying Babylon is fallen or is falling, is coming down. What is the lion beast? What does it represent? What did it represent? Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Babylon.
Right.
Babylon is falling. I wonder if the lease has ended.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, all you have to do is look around you and you will see these prophecies are being fulfilled. And this, Daniel received this information, 3,500 years ago. 2,500 years ago. 2,500 years ago. So we have the three beasts represented in the final beast, a combination, composite beast. So elements of each one, the Marduk of Babylon, the Zoroastrianism of Persia, and Hellenism of Greece. And along with that, you could say the LGBTQZ plus whatever.
Plus.
Which, of course, is referred to as Sodom, was one of the qualities of the great city that the two witnesses would have been killed in. These four great beasts are four kings that will rise. It talks about the, and I've gone over this many times, that in the visions of night I saw coming in the clouds of heaven one like Son of Man. He came to one of great age and was led into his presence. On him was conferred sovereignty, glory, and kingship. Now, it appears that he was anointed as king, but whose is kingdom?
At that point, it didn't exist. The kingdom of God was not on earth.
Now,
maybe the kingdom of heaven was, but not the kingdom of God.
Is it Christians?
Certainly not, because Christianity is a man-made religion. And neither is it Islam or...
Does Christianity exist at the time he receives kingship?
No.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
The hot horn with eyes and a mouth?
You're right. Yes.
Isn't that the they call it the Universal Christian Church.
Right.
That's what Catholic means.
That's right.
So, yes, it is. But was he the king?
Not of that.
No. But they made it appear as if, who's they? Satan, right?
Mm-hmm.
The dragon. He made it. He made it appear as if the king of the Universal Christian Church is Jesus. So, and men of all peoples, nations, and languages became his servants. His sovereignty is an eternal sovereignty which shall never pass away, nor will his empire ever be destroyed. And verse 19, then I asked to know the truth about the fourth beast, terrifying, iron teeth, bronze claws, crushing everything. And in verse 21, because we're about out of time, it says, I was watching, making war against the saints and proving the stronger until the coming of the one of great age who gave judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High when the time came for the saints to take over the kingdom. And that time has already come. It is my understanding that the stone is already in existence of Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which would mean we are in the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for joining us. We encourage you to join us tomorrow, July 9, for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. And please read the grand plan if you can. We just got a great comment on that. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a great day. We'll see you all tomorrow.